Options involve risk and are not suitable for all investors. Individuals should not enter into options transactions until they have read and understood the risk disclosure document, characteristics and risks of standardized options. Available by calling 1-888-OPTIONS or by visiting optionseducation.org. None of the information in this presentation should be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell a security or to provide investment advice. This is part one of the Options Industry Council's six-part series, Developing a Trading Strategy.
My name is Steve Meisinger, and I give presentations all throughout the country. Of course, I'm an OIC speaker, and I work at the International Securities Exchange. I spent 20 years on the floors of three different exchanges, and I've been with the ISE for the last 7 years. So the option disclosure document is very, very important. So I'd urge you to all get this document if you don't have it. You can get it at your broker or, of course, at 888 Options. It's very important. It goes through the most basic concepts of options all the way through to the most complex. So I'd urge you to read that at your leisure. Options give you alternatives. And again, the way the markets are recently, that's a good thing. Sometimes when you're in quiet markets, people ask me, Steve, why do I need options? Because I can just trade the underlyings. I'm not so scared of what can happen. Well, we see the market's up about 2% today, whatever, it was up 1.5% yesterday, down 2.5% the day before that. We're seeing tremendous volatility. So that gives us a lot of potential. Also, it gives us a lot more risk. So options are going to allow you, the investor, to select the amount of risk that's appropriate for you based on your own goals and your own risk tolerances. And of course, I can't answer how much money you need to start trading or what kind of trade, how big should my trades be, because I have no idea what your trade account is. You know, what are your goals and what are your risk tolerances? So be careful when you learn options and somebody tells you that there's this one simple strategy that you could implement and make a lot of money. Well, it means that you probably can make money for a period of time. However, the markets change. So as the markets are changing, the more you understand about different strategies, you can implement these different strategies. My presentation is really about the mindset. Prior to entering the transactions, what am I thinking about? You know, how do I formulate my risk-reward? Again, just because your neighbor or your brother-in-law has a certain strategy, that may not be appropriate for you because you probably have different goals and risk tolerances. So options allow for the transfer of risk from those investors that are willing to take reduced risk for those who are willing to increase risk. So that's what an option's about. It's about a choice. So for those people that are willing to take more risk, well, these options are out there. If you want to take less risk, there are options out there also. If you think an asset isn't going to be moving, maybe a covered call makes sense. Efficient markets assume that risk and reward are inherently linked. So that is a concept that we could debate for hours and weeks and months because some people believe in this efficient market theory, some don't. But the options pricing model actually takes that into account. So these markets are efficient, the prices are always efficient. So I get questions all the time, well, if the prices are efficient, then why would I trade? The answer is that obviously, the market's not perfectly efficient because when the market's up 2%, down 2%, up 2%, then there's something going on. So maybe it's sort of a hybrid between efficiency. They're quasi-efficient, but we have periods of chaos. So again, if you're thinking about trading, you're looking for higher rates of return, you're going to normally have to take more risk. So you want to understand risk and reward and how that concept relates to options and formulate that into your plan. Remember, investments are not, it's not like foul shooting, where I'm all of a sudden trying to be right 90% of the time, because it's about risk and reward. You're talking money. It's not, if I'm right 70% of the time, am I going to guarantee myself a profit? No, because I can find trades that are going to work 80 and 90% of the time, But the other 5 or 10 or 15% of the time, I could lose a tremendous amount of money. Now, that's up to each individual investor. I want you to understand that it's not just about the percentage of your trades. It's about money. How much, what are your net dollars? So you want to think about that. You want to select a trading style that you feel comfortable with. So for some of us, we like these high probability trades because we want to, quote unquote, feel good after the trade. Some of us actually prefer these, what I would call outlier trades, trades that don't, that aren't going to be profitable very often, but when they are profitable, you're going to make a lot of money. So, and recently, some of those kind of trades worked out. But again, that doesn't happen all that often. There are 252 business days in a year. When you get, how many days are you going to see really wild markets? Well, it depends on the year. Some years, maybe none. Some years, 5, 6, 7. This year, we've seen an inordinate amount of trading days where we've seen volatility. So you want to try to learn as much as you can about option synthetics. And you don't necessarily want to learn option synthetics so that you can wow your friends to show them that you understand that stock, that if you take stock and you all of a sudden buy a call, you know, or I'm sorry, you know, stock and put, you can create a call. It's not about trying to beat the Wall Street banks on pricing. That's what some people think, option synthetics. What it really lets you do is understand the risks of your trades even better. Because more than likely, these Wall Street banks are pricing options each and every second of the day. The idea that you're going to compete with them in pricing is probably, it's not practical. But if you understand synthetics, you're going to further understand options. So I'd urge you to learn more about that. You want to understand more about the Greeks. Why? Because the Greeks are like risk gauges. And again, why is that important? Well, you know, I use the metaphor when you're driving a car, you don't necessarily have to know how the car was built, but you surely have to understand that when one of those risk gauge lights comes on, my engine's too hot, I shouldn't continue to drive. So to take that metaphor into options, well, think about it. All of a sudden, if I have too much of what's called the Greek risk, whether it's delta, gamma, theta, vega, or rho, if I have too much of it, and an event occurs that I'm not expecting, I could lose a lot of money. So that's why I want to understand more about the Greeks. Again, not to compete with the Wall Street banks, but more to understand how this risk could hurt me if an event that I'm not expecting actually occurs. And of course, options are about actively managing your trades. So I buy an option. It depends. If I'm buying a one-day option, well, I'm probably not going to actively manage it. I'm going to probably buy it and hope that it works out for me in one, you know, one day prior to expiration. But most of the time, you're going to close out of the trade prior to expiration because you're actively managing your trades, whether it's stop loss orders, whether you decide to actually do some spreads, you know, close it out, or sell an option against one that you bought. So actively managing your trades is going to depend on what the time frame that you select. And I'll go through that more in a couple of slides. So the balance of risk and return in forecasting. Markets move due to fear, greed, hope, and despair. And we've seen that recently. One day, we turn on the television or your favorite place in the media to get your financial information, and you'll see a lot of sad faces. Next day, you see euphoria, like today. Everyone's really happy. But you remember, if you're not trading within your own financial goals, you probably couldn't have been trading today. So you don't want to get too sad because that probably meant that you had too much money at risk at one time. And if you get too euphoric, well, that's good in one way. But again, the markets could turn against you. So you try to actually balance that, all those problems, or not problems, but your feelings, depending on how well you're doing. So your trading methodology, of course, is important. And you'll probably have a lot of different styles as you move on. But this is going to depend not only on your makeup, but also the markets. So in the years 2005, 2006, even 2007, if I was an investor that liked trying to predict volatility in the markets, I probably didn't do that well. So at some point in that period of time, I had to actually reduce or maybe even cut back or totally stop trying to be predicting in very, very volatile markets because the markets were not volatile at all. Now, this year, the opposite occurred. People that were selling volatility, maybe after the first event in February or the second event in August, you know, what I like to say is that there's nothing wrong with having any one strategy, but after it hurts you once or twice, be careful. Maybe the market's telling you that it's on to something new. And the markets seem volatile to me. Now, we could have seen the high in volatility as of yesterday or the day before, but we're not sure. So again, you want to trade, have a flexibility in your trading. Always consider your own goals and your own risk tolerances. The essence of options investing is forecasting how far an asset's going to move, up, down, or neutral. So this is why I love options, because you know, if you're just looking at an underlying, you're just saying, well, more than likely, you're probably predicting that it's going to move up, but maybe down if you're short, willing to short a stock. But with options, you have time frame, you have magnitude, and you can even create positions that you're neutral on. So you can learn all that, and that's what makes options so wonderful, because it gives all of us a lot of choices. So forecasts are the foundation of all option strategies. It really starts with that. So I could spend hours and hours talking about the Greeks, but essentially, at the end of the day, the Greeks are not going to give you a strategy. They're going to tell you how that risk is actually, how you could view risk, which is really important, but I still need a strategy. So I still need to have some view of the market in general, and then I have sectors to select from. And that's really going to come down to however you view the markets, whether it's fundamental analysis, technical analysis, or any other way that you look at the markets.
Ready to learn more? Then please download OIC's Developing a Trading Strategy Part 2, available at www.optionseducation.org. Remember, if there is ever anything in one of these OIC podcasts that you don't understand, or if you have an options-related question, just call 1-888-OPTIONS or visit us at www.optionseducation.org.